B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub this hour of the Toucher and Rich Show is brought to you by Acadia Healthcare. Rich is in Miami where I guess he sits alone. Has anyone shown up yet?
Well, funny you should ask.
Oh.
Because I'm not alone anymore. And from what I can tell, there's only one other morning show that seems to be broadcasting right now. A second ago, I went up to go see if I could get some coffee, took the little walk, have to kind of walk past Radio Row, and it looks like there's one other show, just one, out of the hundreds of tables, and you know who that would be?
Can we go talk to him?
Boston, kiss my ass twice.
All right, let's go and talk to him now.
We got a little Bob Fesco action. Remember him from Kansas City?
Is there a way that we could go and talk to Bob Fesco? You could just walk up to the station.
Hear ye, the Honorable Judge E. Rosen, whoever, in New England.
Yeah, so
that's
sure.
Right. Well, okay, he right now is on the air. So I think that what Kansas City is 1 hour behind us? Is that right? Okay, so they're 1 hour behind us. So they just went on the air. Now, tomorrow morning, like, you know, they get here before the show starts, kind of like we do. I might be able to get them on during the 6 o'clock hour before they go on the air.
Well, could you just chowderheads are melting down and they're wondering why, you know, oh, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
Are your mics tied down or are they wireless?
No. We're tied down. I've got a headset on that stays here. I'm not like Bobby Brown in the My Prerogative video. I can't just wander anywhere. I'm strapped to this desk.
You couldn't go over to maybe if you used your phone, you could go over maybe next break and we could
pompous
talk to Bob
Fesco. Pompous mountains in Maine.
Okay, so we have to do it with the pompous mountains. We have to do this right because if we go over there and just start yelling at him while he's
No, we're
air,
not yelling at him. We're just going to go like, hey, what gives? Like, why do you hate us so much?
I think tomorrow morning we ask him to come and sit down with us and talk to us about how he hurt our feelings. And you know what? Maybe ask him to apologize to the mountains of Maine for calling them pompous.
All right, here's the deal. I know that you're out there with people. If he has any kind of break where he can take off his microphone, if you could ask him to come over to the table.
Up in Old England.
And we could
possibly talk to him about the how it's not right what he said.
Well, I think the way to do this is you got to get him tomorrow morning. I want to, because he's going to sit down for a second. He won't even sit down. There's no way he's going to leave during a commercial break and come over here. You have to understand, this place is the size of a football field. And, like, I'm near one end zone. He's at the other. So, I mean, it's really far away. And for him to come over here, I mean, getting coffee that's outside the room takes the entire break just to go outside the room and bring it back. So there's no way he's going to come over here and sit and agree to come unless it's when he's not on the air. So that's why tomorrow morning I'll keep an eye out for him in the 6 o'clock hour before he goes on the air, and I'll ask if he'll come and sit down and, you know, listen, you can give him the Bronx cheer if you want to. You can just say, hey there, New England, we're in your dome. Because I know that that's something that apparently he's
into. We're living inside the dome.
Mm-hmm. Is he, all the people in New England.
Is he a solo morning show guy?
No, there's another dude there.
Ah. Fesco and the Fesco and the Wolf.
Fesco and the Mute. I really don't know the other guy.
Fesco and the Gang.
I don't think it's probably
a gang.
This might be the guy. This might be him.
There's a little how about them apples kind of feel for it, yeah.
Thank you. Well said.
Yeah, just Fesco and the Gang.
With witty Goodwill Hunting drop-ins there, yeah.
Oh, sure. So, okay, I will tomorrow morning.
And you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yep, I know. The Atlantic Ocean. He was very, very upset when the Patriots beat Kansas City last year. Very, very upset. So, but you know what I will do? I will just say, you know, why, you know, why'd you hurt us the way you did? Why is this? Why are you so mean?
Yeah. Like, what gives? I mean,
to the, you know, the people in the foliage and the soups of New England.
I mean, what did our soup do to you? Did it burn your mouth at some point?
The chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, you know, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
That's right. These stupid chowder heads, they stink.
Yeah. So it is right now. It's me and it's him and that's it. We're the only radio shows here.
Well, listen, it sounds to me like it's all right. Just you and the Fesk man just taking care of biz.
So Operation Fesco tomorrow morning. And you know what? The good thing, too, is that even if you won't come over here, maybe I can go over there and record something with him and shoot it back to you guys and we can play it.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. You might have to clean it up, though. Edit it a little bit.
Well, I mean, listen, he's going to salt our mountains the way he does.
Salty language.
I mean, if he's living inside our domes.
Yeah, probably best not to do it live, actually, just to make sure you can clean it all up.
Yeah, I mean, Fesco is living inside our domes.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, he hits us in all the sore spots, you know.
He'll never be as good as New York.
That's right. Never be as good.
I wake up every morning saying, damn it, why isn't Boston as good as New York?
That's right.
Rent, I wish my rent would be, like, ridiculously high.
No, it's a bad example.
That is a bad example because it is ridiculous. well, yeah, so I will make sure to do that tomorrow morning.
All right, so it's just you and the Fesk man.
Me and the Fesk. Oh, somebody said, can we ask how the big barbecue bash went that they were going to have, remember? They're going to have like a big rally.
Oh, that's right. They were going to have a big rally at the BBQ joint.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they had... cornhole and you know, all kinds of fun stuff.
I think the big selling point was that they were going to like set something on fire.
Oh yeah.
So basically it was all the caveman listeners of theirs just like, oh, something on fire.
I think they were going to light like jerseys on fire or something. If I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
That's weird.
Kobe Bryant jerseys, very controversial.
That would not make them look very good.
No, but they don't care.
Not at all.
They're shock jocks.
Yep. All about the ratings.
That's right.
All about the ratings. The Fesk man always has been.
The Fesk man, you know, what he does is he gets in the zeitgeist and kind of turns it on its head.
So that's kind of, so he's number one on the radio wish list because, I mean, obviously, you know, starting tomorrow, we're going to have actual celebrities on. You know, today's media evening or whatever they're calling it now.
So Boomer's not there?
I haven't seen him. So the CBS Sports Network, I think that is – there's a huge stage over there. I don't see any lights on or anything like that. Have you seen Boomer? So I've not seen him. I do know that I am working to get our man Rome on the show because he's going to be here. So if we can get Rome here nice and early
– nice.
He might join us, and maybe we could have a Rome off, which would be nice.
Yeah, Rich and Rome, if you want to know what a high roller Rich is, same agent.
Oh, yeah?
Rich and Jim Rome.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Rapping.
I've been in the vine, the jungle.
So Rich has in his contract that he gets to sit on a big stage and have someone go into him while he pees in a urinal.
I have heard. Don't think that that's not going to be one of the first questions I ask him. Do you bring security to the bathroom?
No, the whole thing is I'm just going to talk to him like Jim Rome and not address it. What is up? What is up with Rome? Shilling an E. The me. Repping the beach. Repping dyeing your beard.
Regrow your drug-free lettuce.
That was his Britney Spears take. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, I don't know. What do we have coming up, Fred?
I don't know. I haven't done a lot of planning.
I mean, I'm in Miami. I don't really know what I can do. I'm just gonna...
All right. We will have more from you from Rich in Miami. And we will have more for you in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour of Toucher and Rich live from Radio Row in Miami is sponsored by Acadia Healthcare. All right, so, Jones, you can see me, so I want you to look at me while I break this down. All right.
I'm locked in.
Big dance at Bayside. Costume.
Okay. Yeah.
Costume dance.
Sure.
Yeah, Kelly doesn't know if she can go to the costume dance because she has seven brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, I don't have the money. I don't know. Zach goes, all right, I'm going to get you a costume. She goes, great. So she goes, but I got to make some money. And he goes, all right. So and now they're in a band called, all of a sudden they're in a band called the Zach Attack.
Yeah, Zach Attack, sure.
Yeah, but this is not the one where he dreams the future. They're just in the Zach Attack, all of a sudden. Lisa plays bass. Jesse sings and plays tambourine. Zach's out in front, but he's not the lead singer, but he plays the geet. And Slater, Mario Lopez, very excited that he plays the drums in real life. Like, his smile is, he's, like, really, like, enjoying it. Like, he's, like, hitting, like, he's on point. Like, Zach's kind of screwing around, and Lisa's got big, long fingernails, but she's kind of slapping that thing.
Everybody else is going through the motions. He's locked in.
Yeah, and I think Jesse's really singing. Like, it's a dub track, but no one else is. So, they're rocking and rolling, and they're saying, "Hey, like Kelly goes, I can't come to practice," and they go, "Why?" And he goes, "I don't have any money, I'm poor," and so they go, "All right." And then Zach goes, "You go to the Max." Like, it's very selfless. He's like, "You go to the Max." So Kelly goes to the Max, and she's very nervous. But who comes in? There's a new guy in town.
Oh,
he has transferred from the University of Michigan. He is a now at UCLA, he is a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you this guy's a hunk, I mean, I'm telling you, like, va-va-voom.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to Edelman, he's...
Well, he's taller than Edelman.
Oh, okay.
He's got a nice butt.
Nice.
And his hair is... And then she goes, like...
Well-coiffed.
She goes, like, hey, sir. And he goes, when you say sir, it makes me feel like I'm losing my hair. And you're like, not so fast. You don't look like you're losing your hair. So Kelly gets a job on a probationary basis, which Screech does not understand. He's out in his head's in the clouds. So what Kelly does is she takes her shirt and it's just a midriff.
Yep.
Out of all the waitresses at the Max, she's the one that has taken her shirt and cinched it.
Yeah.
So you can see her her stomach.
Sure.
So I mean, now we're talking about double va va voom. Now it's just a matter. Now this is just pheromones kicking, because you know this guy and Kelly are gonna. But then Zach, she goes, Zach, I can't go to the dance. I don't know. I gotta be I gotta work at the Max. I just started. So Zach, maybe overstepping his bounds, Adam, goes into the Max, and he tells the manager. He goes, oh, you know. She's an only child and it's her birthday and, you know, her dad would be very upset if she wasn't there. And he goes, is it her birthday? Because I heard she has, 7 brothers and sisters. And he's like, oh, you got me. And he goes, all right, well, listen, no problem. So this guy is not an asshole. This guy's not a jackass. I should say this guy is not a jackass. So he's playing everything right. He's got Zach. He knows Zach's Kelly's girlfriend, but he don't care.
Yeah.
Right? So his intentions are true. So he's not a villain. Okay?
Okay.
So one night they're cleaning up and Kelly's in there and she's cleaning up and the two of them smooch. But not only over the table, but they stand up. And they kiss.
Yeah.
So now here we are. Kelly's, she couldn't be more confused. So Zach goes to her house and he is, they're going to be Romeo and Juliet. So Zach has his hat on and he goes into the room and he goes like, oh, if we're out there, Juliet. And Kelly's like, you know, I don't know. But Kelly's got this giant room for poor people with 8 kids.
Yeah, there should be a few bunk beds in this room. Yeah,
she's just got this
mattresses on the floor.
She's got this giant room all to herself, and there's a Tony Hawk poster, and then there's some random posters of just like, you know, teenage shenanigans.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah, Tiger Beat.
So I don't know about that. It's kind of hard to pinpoint her because Jesse's room has got like Cure posters in it. So
can I just interrupt? Yes. I've never watched the show, so I'm completely lost.
You've
but
never
for
watched
some,
the show?
No, I know what it is. Like I'm aware of the characters, but I never like regularly watch Saved by the Bell. Hmm. But I am so sorry, just while you were talking, because I'm not aware of it, I kind of started imagining, like, other things. And for some reason, what popped in my head is the image of what we could have seen if Wallach actually came to Miami, because I just imagined him almost looking like the dude from Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Yes.
Walking on the beach of Miami.
Right, with his with glasses and, like flowery shorts.
Just Wallach, like, beach Wallach, for some reason, is making me laugh right now, just thinking about it.
That could take us to Snow White and the Seven Nerds. So I don't know if you want to go there.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, the big kahuna, just having, you know, John Wallach on the beach. Hey there, ladies. You know, maybe take him to, you know, we're... Oh, God, it would have been the best to mic them up because, you know, these beaches here, sometimes that they're, like, clothing optional.
Oh, yeah, the South Beach, you could show boobies.
And how funny would it be if just Wallach just went up and just, like, you know, like, just talked to some of the ladies out there?
Yeah, he'd,
like...
he'd want to do that. He'd do that in 10 seconds.
Let's go surfing just, now. Hey, everybody's learning
how. Big kahuna Wallach.
All right. Let me finish real quick.
All right. I don't know where this is going, but okay. Please. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I started imagining other things while you're talking to me. I'm giving you a narrative. Are you just recapping an episode? Like, what's happening here? I don't know what's going on.
I'm recapping the episode.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Louth and Josh, and we're like, where is this going?
Well,
what's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening. All right. So, anyway, so she smooches this guy. Let's go to Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Frank, I have to call in and stop this terrible segment. What are you doing? You can't function without Rich or something, dude. What are you doing?
You're like Ox on Saved by the Bell. You're like Ox, like a big dumb jock.
Cut it out, man. Cut it out. I like listening to the show. I love this show.
Yeah, but you're like Ox.
Absolutely gut-wrenching.
You're like Ox, a big dumb jock.
I don't give a damn what character I am.
Yeah, well, no, you're like Ox. Take that.
You're like Ox.
You're like Ox, like a big dumb jock. Like, you come on the show and everyone's like, "Who's this stupid? Who's this stupid idiot?" Huh?
So bad.
Who? Everyone when you talk is like, "Ah, who's this dummy?" You don't get no girls, Ox. How do you like that, Mike? I call you Ox.
Oh, my God.
I'm as lost as this guy. I don't know who
Ox. All right. So, Mike, anyway, I'll tell you. So they kiss. Now. Hang on. Now all hell's breaking loose. Okay? Because the girls are kind of hip to that she's kissed the manager. Let's say the manager's name is Paul. So the gang has got to play the dance.
Measure with a dog.
So the gang is playing this dance. And Zach can't concentrate for nothing because Kelly is just like, "What do you want out of me? I'm in this dress." And she's like, "Ah." And then, so Zach, they're playing. And then Zach goes up to her and he goes, "Kelly, what's going on?" And she goes, "I can't do this." And he goes, "Let's talk to you outside." Well, Rich, at that point, the band doesn't know what to do. So the band decides to go on without Zach.
Oh, boy.
But this is a duet of "How Am I Supposed to Live Without You?" The Michael Bolton song. So the two of them,
Sorry, these clips are going off by themselves. I'm not controlling them.
Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, let me just tell you right now, I am a huge fan of what you're doing here. Huge fan of Saved by the Bell. And what you're leading up to was one of the most heartbreaking...
Thank you.
Heartbreakingly hilarious moments in Saved by the Bell history. And I hope one of the days down the road, you're going to go into the attic episode where that creep Jeff really does some bad stuff. But well, I'm not going to give that away, and I'm hoping...
Well, you know what we'll also discuss, because once a week I'm doing this. You know what we'll also discuss is that what happened to Max?
I mean, he was out there
doing magic, and why is it still the Max? I mean, there's no guy doing magic.
I don't know, but Max was like the Wallach of Saved by the Bell, wasn't he? He kind of resembled him. He did the magic.
Yeah, I mean, he could own the Max.
They just kind of, it's kind of let
I'm
him
glad
go.
Glad you brought up Ox. Glad you brought up Ox.
Yeah, that guy was like Ox, a big stupid idiot.
Yeah, right. I think he played two characters on that show. The episode where the army came into the school and did like the
sub-zone the group drill. Sarge here.
That's right. They only had so many SAG members on that show. So anyway, so here we are.
The ACC had six.
All right. You don't have to play the clip. I'm almost done, but please, the audience loves this. So now it's a very like Slater and Jesse are like really singing how am I supposed to live without you? Like they're and the camera's like folding and like it's like kind of getting misty. And Zach's outside and they're on a picnic bench. And he goes, She goes, no, yes, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So he knows. And he goes, I thought you loved me. And she goes, I do love you. And he goes, we were supposed to be together forever. It wasn't supposed to be like this. And she goes, I know. And he goes, very maturely, Adam. And this kind of sets it up because they get back together and eventually get married.
Okay.
He goes, can I have one last dance? So while Jesse and Slater are singing, they're having their last dance outside.
Wow.
As Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lovers.
Wow.
Beautiful. It really was. Luke, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Fred, this is great. And that last Ox doesn't know what he's talking about. It's obvious you guys didn't do any prep. But this is so much better than listening to you talk about how you don't like Belichick very much because he looks mean. And, like, that Jason Tatum's not good at basketball. I love this.
Yeah.
Can we do it more?
Yeah, once a week. I'll recap an episode for everyone.
Nice.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, I appreciate that you liked it. Let's go to Anthony. Go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of Romeo and Juliet, that segment wanted me make me drink poison. Okay? Fred, you converted me from the other station when they fired Jerry Callahan. Don't make me go back.
Jerry Callahan was very famous for doing...
Don't make me go back to the other station.
He would recap episodes of NYPD Blue.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And so,
Sipowicz, he was big on Sipowicz. That's right.
That's right. He liked, and that episode was very controversial when he showed his butt. Remember that?
I'm thinking maybe why would you go to NYPD Blue of all shows? Maybe you have a thing. Wasn't there the same? Didn't Zach actually act on that show too? Do you have a thing for him?
You got that right.
Is
Zach.
That it?
What is Zach not cool now?
What's that actor's name?
John Paul Gaultier. So listen to this. So Zach's eating a sandwich. This nerd. Hey,
I'm hanging up on you.
Do not hang up on me. This nerd. So that. Hang on. Let me just say one thing. The Reds. Who cares about that? All right, hang on. This nerd's eating a sandwich. This nerd's eating this sandwich, and Zach just comes up and hits it out of his hand.
Oh, boy.
And he's just like, you're a nerd.
He's projecting.
Fred, I'm hanging up, dude. I'm hanging up.
All right. Well, I don't need why you got to be mean. Tim, go ahead.
Fart face. Every morning, and the Saved by the Bell recap was phenomenal.
Thank you.
I'm sick of... I don't want to hear any more about Brady. Who cares? He'll go where he goes. Red Sox, whatever. This was fantastic radio. Yeah. All these Oxes can just go away. Keep it up once a week. Do it once a day. It's phenomenal.
No,
thank
once
you.
A week I'm going to recap a Saved by the Bell episode because they're very popular. And I think, you know...
And it's educational. If Rich hasn't seen it, it's educational. Well, it's almost like you can fill in the gaps for it.
Well, next...
I still don't know what happened.
Well, next... I just told you that Kelly ended up hooking up with the manager in the Mets. Now, you know what happened in the next episode?
Oh, I don't.
There is no hide nor hair of the manager from the Mets.
Just gone?
He's just gone.
What's the deal with Zach and Kelly? Are they broken up at that point?
I think that there's like a subtle like, will they, won't they?
Nice. I like that.
That's going on at that point.
Little children, please stay away from drugs.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Fred? Great job. Hey, not that it's the same show, but kind of same genre. My daughter was watching Full House this morning.
Yeah.
And she realized that Michelle, at the age she was probably 3 or 4, has a Nelson poster above her bed. She is much too young for that love and affection.
I will tell you that I did know she had a Nelson poster, and I think that that might have been mandated by the network. So now you've all learned something. Rich, I know you don't understand what's going on, but sometimes you just got to let the... You got to let me take the reins. B-Real says, Rich is a liar. He has seen the episode we did Saved by the Bell drinking game. Liar, liar.
I have seen that episode. That's right.
That was the episode you watched?
Was that one of the more brutal ones? I remember the South Park drinking game being the most vicious. That one.
I recall nothing.
We made the rules way too loose.
I recall nothing of any of them.
Was that the one where you thought you were stepping on a homeless man, but it was Crash? You had passed out in the
alley. That might have been Seinfeld.
You tripped over somebody like, oh, my goodness, I think I shouldn't realize it was Crash.
Yeah, that was not a good time in my life. All right, Rich, well, maybe you want to take the reins on the next one.
You got
one.
It. I got the next break.
All right, very good.
Bert Breer in studio, by the way, too, at 9 o'clock. I made it happen.
Oh, congratulations. We got ourselves a catch. So next week, I might focus on... the Zach Attack Casey Kasem episode.
Oh,
so
I think that I'm familiar with that. I know the Zach Attack. I think I'm familiar with that one.
But the problem is, it's kind of lazy storytelling because he wakes up at the end. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, reflected on his interview with you a short time ago, and what stood out to him not only was that you made a mark enough so that he was going to hire you, but that you also ordered 3 steaks.
Oh, come on.
Is that
true?
What
he said? He's too funny.
So you did. Wait, so let's set the record straight. You did or didn't order 3 steaks?
Well, I might have, and I don't remember ordering 3 steaks. I'll take credit for it, though. I mean, I'm one of the Forkedarians, so I'll take credit for it.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That, of course, Andy Reid, who I'm rooting for very much this weekend.
The bell of the ball. I mean, Andy Reid is the star of this Super Bowl. I mean, tonight at media night, you know, years past, everyone wants to talk to Brady, everyone wants to talk to Andy Reid, there is no person I'm more fascinated with, and more person and to be quite honest, he's really the only reason that I would be happy if Kansas City won. Because, I mean, to be quite honest, I like Patrick Mahomes, but I think Kelsey's a douche. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, everyone knows the reasons why we should be rooting against him. And there's really nothing to hate about the 49ers. I mean, I can't think of, you know, they've got Wes Welker, they've got, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, because that would just be really funny just to see what Belichick's reaction will be, and maybe he'll say something nice publicly about his dream boat that got away. But
he already has. I think someone asked Belichick about Garoppolo not so long ago, when he went off on this like 20-minute praise session of just how wonderful he is. So
I just don't you have this weird feeling, because Garoppolo has essentially been like an unimportant cog in this wheel during the playoffs.
Yeah, just during the last 2 games, yeah.
Yeah, during the playoffs, he's been, I mean, he's handed off like a time. Mean, what did he throw? I think he's thrown it a total of 30 times.
The idea is that after the interception in Minnesota, that Shanahan was like, all right, we're going to give you a mental break.
Okay, oh, here it is. Okay, I've got this. Gasper actually broke it down, but it's pretty funny. He said that San Francisco has run the ball 89 times. The 49ers have dropped back to pass just 30 times, including sacks. So, I mean, he's just there not to screw up during the playoffs.
Gasper sucks. He wrote this article, and it's like dismissing the whole regular season.
No, yeah, see, I'm with you on that, and I've said that about Jimmy Garoppolo all season long.
But the whole logic of it is flawed.
Well,
like
right.
It's like a kiss-ass piece to the Patriots, because the whole logic of the whole thing is flawed.
Yeah, is that right? People should not be upset that he's no longer a Patriot. Which, by the way, that was settled when Brady won more rings.
After
he left, Brady continued to win. So you win that deal. Like, but, getting rid of him, you won all of that.
Debatable, but regardless.
Not debatable. I mean, you got championships after they got rid of Garoppolo.
But they're not going to win another one with him. And so the thing is that would you rather have the chance at a run of several others, or do you want it to end and be mediocre for a while? But regardless, that's another argument.
But let me
just tell you this, though.
Okay.
His article was like, oh, yeah, you know, he was real good in the regular season. But, like, the last 2 games, he hasn't been asked to do much. And it's like,
fine. And then he compares him to, like, Dilfer. And Flacco. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, if he had the throw, they would have thrown. Shanahan, and we, you know this too, Rich. You know this from inside sources. That after he threw the interception in Minnesota, Shanahan said, if I could, and I think I can, I'm gonna run the ball, and I don't think that I have to throw.
But despite what he did in the regular season, sorry.
I was just gonna say real quick, if he's comparing to Flacco, people don't remember that postseason for Joe Flacco where he won a Super
different,
Bowl.
Different postseason,
ungodly. Like he was doing stuff.
Different postseason. It was it was a wild card game that they won in
2009.
Yeah, in 2009.
Oh, okay. Well, that I understand. But the thing is about and I'll let you go. But I just think that after reading all of this and the way that they played, and from of course Fred, the people that we've talked to, who kind of had a little bit of inside knowledge, I just have this feeling that they're going to have Garoppolo throwing the ball all over the place during the Super Bowl. I just have a feeling they're going to completely flip the script because he's been able to do it, and it's probably what they least expect now. And I think that you were all going to be shocked. Now, whether or not he throws a million interceptions, I have no idea. But all I know is that I have a feeling that's going to be part of the game plan. It's not going to be nearly as run heavy as it used to be.
Well, first of all, not enough Saved by the Bell talk for my taste. And second of all, I think he has to throw, doesn't he? He's going to have to throw in this game, which is why all the debate about Garoppolo will be settled nicely. Like,
if you're going to outscore Patrick Mahomes, you got to throw.
I don't think they can run all over them like they ran all over the last couple of teams. Maybe they can, but...
Yeah, but and that's why that article was flawed, because they didn't have to. Like, if you have to throw, then you have to throw.
How many times have the Patriots been blowing out another team, and they don't... And they've had some big running games, you know, even with LeGarrette Blount in the playoffs or the Jonas Gray game. It's not like Brady never threw.
Okay, hang on a second, though. But Brady, and I know Brady's numbers, and Gasper uses them in that article, that he was looked upon as a game manager and his stats weren't great, but he did get down the field when he had to, and there were two-minute drills that he was successful in. But if I'm Shanahan and I see that this quarterback, by the way, he's not young, but an inexperienced quarterback.
He's almost to the age where like Luke Kuechly and guys like that are retiring.
Right. Yeah. And so if smart people. And
he's young and in starts though. No, I mean, he's relatively young
No,
NFL
I said inexperienced, not young. So if I'm Shanahan and I know the guy and I go, "All right, he's spooked. He threw this interception in against the Vikings. I'm going to try to run the ball." And I'm successful at it. Why not? Like, what is my reasoning for just having him chuck it around? I mean, I'm winning. I mean, I won that Green Bay game going away. There's no reason to. Now, that article would lead you to believe that Garoppolo has been just a game manager, which is not true. During the regular season, he had games that he won.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm not telling you these Marino.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he had games that he won. I did not like that article. I thought it was a very convenient article, and I thought, quite frankly, it was a kiss-ass article to the Patriots for not keeping him. Mm. And the headline of it, which I know he doesn't write, was basically like, this Super Bowl's not because of Garoppolo or something like that. And I just thought that was insincere.
Yeah, the headline was, Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't exactly led the 49ers to the Super Bowl.
Right, which is... I don't know. I mean, if you got an inexperienced quarterback and you see that he's getting spooked, which we know he was, Shanahan said, "All right, I'm going to try to take this off your shoulders a little bit," and then if it's working, it's working. Why would I have him? Why would I have him throw in that Green Bay game? Just for any quarterback, why would I have him throw?
Maybe have him work on passing for the actual Super Bowl when he's going to have to throw.
Yeah, I know, but Adam, I have to win that game.
So you think he needs to warm up? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Just get him throwing again.
Like one of the most important games, the most important game so far of his career.
He won't have thrown in like 3 weeks.
No, I know. I understand what you're saying, but if I'm Shanahan and it's working, I'm not screwing with it. I mean, he believes that he does. I don't think he doesn't believe that Garoppolo can perform when needed. I just think that, he was like, "All right, I'm going to try to take some pressure off of him." And then it was working. So he's like, "Why the hell would I change?"
Well, here's why you were talking about, well, was it worth those championships keeping Brady and not keeping Garoppolo? You see, I don't look at Jimmy Garoppolo as somebody that's going to lead you to a bunch of championships. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback, but he's not what Tom Brady was. And I think that you trade that any day for what he did while once Jimmy Garoppolo was traded.
How many championships since Garoppolo? I'm just ignorant to it.
They've been to two and won one.
Yep. And they won one. Yes,
they traded in the year of the Eagles.
I would make an argument that they could have won a Super Bowl with Garoppolo with that defense.
I mean, they could have. They pretty much could have had anybody play quarterback in that Super Bowl and win against the Rams.
So, yeah. Hang on. So you're saying this year they could have won a Super Bowl if it was Garoppolo instead of Brady?
I don't know. You're saying last year.
Last year.
I don't know. Brady in the AFC title game was good. Took a while, but he was good.
Come on. You cannot dismiss what he did against the Chiefs.
Okay, well, then.
There's no way Jimmy Garoppolo would have been able to pull that off.
Then here's the argument. We have it all the time. Do you sell out for a title? Or do you plan for, you know, the next 10 years of your franchise?
But the thing is that you got that title. You're not guaranteed anything with Jimmy Garoppolo.
But Rich, here's the argument. You can have it in any sport. We talk about it with trades all the time. We talk about giving up assets to get something to win one title. We talk about it in basketball. We talk about it in hockey. We talk about baseball. Do you chase one title at the expense of your future? Let's look at the Red Sox.
Well, hang on real quick, Fred. Belichick was right, and here's why. Not only did they win a championship, Brady did absolutely everything. Had one of the best performances
Belichick
of his career.
Right. Belichick didn't want him. Belichick did not want him, and you know as well as I do that the reason he sent him to San Francisco was a middle finger to the Crafts.
Well, sure, because they said he had to do it, but it was the right decision. Because think of Brady. You can't knock him for that Super Bowl loss. That's one of the best games of his career.
I am saying, All I'm saying
is... And Belichick, it's a point of view.
It's a point of view. Do you sell out for a title, or do you put yourself in position to contend for 10 years?
When it's Tom Brady, you got to keep him.
Okay, well, that's a debate. Right, I mean, like, did you like what Dombrowski did? I mean, Dombrowski won a title, and now they're under the gun. Now they're not going to be – now they're probably not going to contend for the next 5-6 years.
I don't know why you can say that when you've got Bill Belichick as your GM and coach.
So my only thing, if you don't have a quarterback,
you're not going to win. And he believed Garoppolo was the quarterback for the future. Now Garoppolo is a Super Bowl quarterback.
So if it's a hypothetical and you got to take one or contend for 10 years, that is tough. I'd go with the championship. I'd go with the bird in hand. But
fair enough.
I do think they don't have to do it that way. They can still... They just have to find someone better than Garoppolo in the draft or develop.
Good luck.
I don't know how hard that is.
For them?
Yeah.
Well, look at the quarterbacks they've taken.
They found him.
Garoppolo. They found him.
Yeah.
But they had to throw darts at a board 500 times, which is what teams have to do. But listen, they're going to have to draft quarterbacks. They're going to have to draft quarterbacks the next, like, three, four drafts. That's what I would do.
I'm not sold on Stidham, so I keep drafting
quarterbacks. Oh, no, you have to. Yeah. You have to. I mean, the Seahawks did it when they had three quarterbacks. One of which, Flynn, they were spending $5,000 on.
Yep.
They had Hasselbeck, and then they drafted Russell Wilson, and then had the balls to start him. So, yeah, you got to keep drafting quarterbacks, but just in general, and by the way, Belichick's no genius general manager. So just in general, I mean, you're putting yourself in a situation where you have the unknown starting now. Because even if they bring Brady back, they're not winning the AFC.
Belichick's not a good general manager?
No. He's a terrible general manager. Not terrible, average. He's not good at drafting.
His drafting is suspect. I would say that. He's not as good of a GM as he is a coach.
And his free agent signings aren't good either.
Well, some. Gilmore.
Yeah, you got Gilmore.
That's a good one.
I could have gotten
Gilmore's Gilmore. Great. Amendola was good.
I could have signed Gilmore. I mean, I could have gone, give me the best corner and said, here.
Yeah.
Here's the most amount of money that anyone's going to give you.
Sure, no, but that's a good signing, and that's
he took a chance on the greatest tight end of all time. Drafted him.
Your point, though, is that he's not as good of a GM as he is a coach, which I would agree with.
If you want Lockhart to go through the last few drafts,
he's had some bad stuff, but the drafts are bad.
His drafts are bad,
especially lately.
Look what he's been able to do with guys like Julian Edelman. He's been able to find talent where it wasn't obvious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you gave me one guy. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.